Jesus' name. Life's made whole, hearts awake at the sound of Jesus' name.
Chains will fall, prisons shake at the sound of Jesus' name. Life's made whole, hearts awake at the sound of Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. seat. Good morning, church. My name is Julianne. I work here doing outreach and missions and really love every Sunday coming back and worshiping Jesus through song and encouragement and mourning with those who mourn and just being the picture of the church we read it about in the Bible and then connecting all throughout the week. And so on your way in, I hope you had an opportunity. We have tables that have our sermon notes. We have for today the sermon note as well. On those tables, we had this missions prayer guide and some information about the Great Commission Fund. And then another piece to figure out what's going on this morning, we have those sermon notes, and then we also have our Connect card. Those are found in the pew in front of you. And this piece of paper is also available for our online friends, Good Morning live stream friends. It's called our Connect card, and all of this is available in the app. But this is a way for us to really gather prayer requests. If you'd like more information about something, just trying to connect, maybe you want to change your address or your cell phone, whatever it might be. This is our Connect card to really just keep moving together as a church. And you can drop this in the offering buckets that will be passed before the message this morning. Or you are welcome to take this to our guest center, which is in the main lobby. We have a team of people ready to connect with you. If you have questions about Westgate or want to be prayed for or just looking for more information, we would love to do that. And also we have a small gift if you are connecting for the first time. So that's our Connect card, sermon notes, and all of this, as I said, is available on the app. So it is week two of our Missions Emphasis Week. We have had an amazing week, Sunday to Sunday, the first full week of October, where we just really do this thing together. We eat lots of meals together, pray big prayers together, and really seek God to better understand what he's doing, his heart for all peoples, and what he's doing around the world. And last week, we had a guest here, W from Tea House came and spoke, and we got to learn about what God's doing in Central Asia. And then this Wednesday, we had this amazing prayer experience. We've had lots of different opportunities to really open our hands and see where God is at work and ask him how we want to be part of it. And so this morning, week number two, as we wrap it up, is our Latin America Sunday, where we are featuring our friends from Inca Link. And so I'm going to call Luke and Maddie to come on up. Luke and Maddie live in San Jose, Costa Rica. Yes, they came in to connect with their church family this Missions Emphasis Week, and they will return back to life in Costa Rica on Tuesday. So if you look in the Missions Prayer Guide, you'll see all of Westgate's partners that we have sent, our global partners, and you will see Luke and Maddie's story is in here as well. They have been, they grew up at Westgate, serving here in many, many ways, and then last March they moved to San Jose, and God has been doing many things in San Jose and in them. And so they're just going to take a couple minutes to share. So the first thing we're going to talk about is Tucantico. Tucantico? I don't know. However you want to say.
Yeah.
Tucantico. And so that's our coffee shop. Luke, tell us what God has been doing. What is Tucantico and what's God doing there?
Ever since we landed in Costa Rica, we've pretty much been working day and night and putting all of our effort and energy into Tucantico, our cafe. And really trying to move from a place of need to a place of sustainment, self-sustainment, and hopefully in the near future be getting to a place where we can be supporting our other ministries around Costa Rica. So we've been doing everything from perfecting our menu to updating the looks of the cafe, which our Westgate team in July actually really helped us with, updating the look. And making it more appealing for students to come in, along with marketing our cafe to the campus, and then also just working through some staff turnover and lining up some employees, which we actually have two really awesome employees right now that are currently running the cafe while we're away, so it doesn't burn to the ground.
It's a huge praise.
Yes,
thank
huge
you, God.
Praise. And so they are awesome. Their names are Fatima and Raquel, and they are both just super great about running the cafe on a daily basis and serving our customers and loving people well as they come in to the cafe. So we are really excited about them, and they have provided us a lot of opportunity to just kind of scale back from the cafe. We spent the first 6 months putting like 150% of our time into the cafe, but now we're getting to scale back a little bit and pursue some ministry opportunities that have arisen in the last couple months, which we're really excited for. First is I have gotten the opportunity from a free English class that we offered through the cafe, through some ministry partners that came to Costa Rica. An English teacher came, offered a free English class, and through that, we met Jairo. Jairo is a UCR student that is from the Panama-Costa Rican border. He moved away from his son to San Jose to provide a better life for him, and he does not know the Lord. But he is super interested in learning English, and so he was walking away from his first free English class, and he said, something's different about that cafe, and there's something different about those people within that cafe. So I've taken that opportunity to meet with him every Thursday to teach him English, and to hopefully start sharing the gospel with him shortly. So really excited about that. And then our second opportunity is Maddie and I are actually opening up a Bible study out of our home with our two employees, one of their boyfriends, and then a couple of other people we've come in contact with as well. Going to the book of John here in the next couple weeks. And so we're really excited to start up some discipleship relationships as we've really just been in business mode over the last however many months. Now we're getting to really do true ministry, and we're really excited about that. And so with that, we're also, since we're moving into more self-sustainment, we ask that you be praying for support as we're launching a Tucantigo mobile setup. We're trying to branch out of our building and into the local communities that are surrounding us as we're us and Inklink are launching a food festival in the community of Montufar as a community revitalization project in December. And so Tucantigo Mobile will be there, so we have to have some equipment and things to be there and set up, but also provide for us while school is out. So,
it's so exciting to hear. Yeah, just from what was just how to buy the groceries and all of those things to then seeing that this discipleship that you've been praying for strategically next to the university is clicking in. So thanks for doing that. 7 months in. So as I said, you're 7 months in. You went for 6 months. So will you, Maddie, just give us the Luke and Maddie update and how we as your sending church can be praying over you as we send you back on Tuesday? What's next?
Yeah, so like Jules said, we've been there for 7 months. So if you don't know, we recommitted to another 6 months in Costa Rica with just an openness to whatever God asks us to do after that. And I think that, like Luke was saying, we were working day and what feels like all night on the cafe. And there has been a lot of good, but there's also been a lot of hard. And it has just been so cool to have a front row seat to the goodness of God in the ways that he has just shown us how gracious he is and how he just provides for us in every one of our needs, whether it's big or super small. He has just shown us that he cares for us. And he has also taught us that there is just so much joy in the midst of the hard when you completely surrender everything that you have, move away from all of your family, all of your friends, you go to a new place of a new culture, a new language, and you don't know anyone. But there can be joy in the hard things, knowing that you are walking in obedience with the Lord.
It is true. Every time we check in, there is this just stories of God at work, and you're oozing with this joy of standing in his will and his presence, moving where he's moving, and also it's been hard. And so as we send you back on Tuesday, we'll get to pray for them at the end of the service, but I would love for you guys to grab their prayer cards and just figure out how we can keep sending them back covered in prayer. They also have $2,731.08 left to raise to get them through March. Which is awesome that they're that funded. Thank you, church, for continuing to provide for them. And we would love to send them back funded even this week. So there's a giving link available. And we are going to just keep praying for you guys for creativity, for perseverance. And thank you for going to hard places and leaving your life here to have a life where God is getting glory in Costa Rica. So with that, you can meet with them after service. But right now, we want for you guys to meet someone near you. Maybe stand up and say, where have you seen God at work this week? Let's go.
God we serve, amen.
Amen.
Let's keep crying out together, church. It's your breath in our love.
Lift up our praise to the Lord together. God is good. You may be seated. You know, I want to thank you especially for this morning, your engagement this week and our missions emphasis week. It was three, 4 weeks ago that we talked about God's call on our lives to be a part of his mission to reach the unreached in our world with the good news of the gospel. We said that understanding from looking at Scripture that the goal of God is that he would be exalted among the earth but that also we would enjoy him. And that it is that his exaltation is meant to be for all people, all nations, all tribes, all languages. And that in Scripture, he calls us in his Great Commission to go out and to be a part of making sure that the least reached and unreached people of this world know Jesus Christ. And we asked you a couple weeks ago to engage this week. And I have been so thankful to see how from last Sunday and all through this week, how many of you have engaged. We had such a phenomenal turnout Wednesday night for our Wednesday night missions prayer event from youngest to oldest. And I'll tell you, one of my favorite parts of that evening was not just seeing how many people came, but how everybody engaged together. Even my own daughters, we went back into the kids area and we went into one of the spaces where they were cutting out a small piece of the world and putting it onto crosses. I was sitting there as Deneen was explaining this to Gracie, that this part of the world that you're cutting out is called the 1040 window, and this is the place where the most unreached people in our world live, with many of these countries less than 1% knowing Jesus. And she's been hearing her dad talk about this a lot, and she's been hearing other people talk about it. But it was so interesting to see the light bulb go on in her eyes as she looked at that and went, oh, that's a segment of the world where these people live, and that's who we're trying to reach. It was exciting for me as a dad to see that happen, but even more exciting to see as young to old here in our church Wednesday night and engaged in so many of the different prayer experiences to pray and to say, God, how can I be a part of your mission of reaching the least reach in this world? And so I want to thank you for engaging and being a part this week and continuing to ask God that question. One of the other things that I'm also very thankful for is your generosity as a church. You know that we give over $300,000 a year, you do, to the Great Commission Fund of the Christian Missionary Alliance, above and beyond your regular tithes and offerings, that enables our international workers, about 700 in our denomination, to go out and to share the good news of God all throughout the world. And that generosity is inspiring. But as well, every single week when you give in our offerings, when you faithfully give of your tithes and offerings, some of our budget money as well goes to support our individual partners to make sure that of the funds that they need to raise to be on the field, that those funds get met. And so I just want to thank you as we come to our time of offering for your engagement and the global mission that God has for us to join him in reaching people and doing that through the many different opportunities of praying, sending, mobilizing, welcoming, but also considering going. And so I just want to give thanks to the Lord and pray with you as we come to this time of collecting our morning offering and tithes. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for this incredible week. I thank you, God, for the number of people on our team that have worked so hard to make this a week, God, where our hearts can engage with you around your mission of reaching lost people. And I want to pray, God, that you would continue to develop that it wouldn't be just this week that we think about it, but in the weeks and months to come, that you would help us to find our place in that call on our lives to be a part of reaching the unreached. Father, I thank you for the generosity of this church. Lord, it has consistently over the last 15 years blown my mind at how faithfully they give, not just to this church, but to your global mission. And so, Lord, I thank you. And this morning as we collect our offering, I ask, God, that you would take it, that you would multiply it, and that you would use it, God, so that more people in our community throughout the world would come to know your son, Jesus Christ. We love you, and we give this time to you, and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we collect our morning offering, I'd invite you to grab those offering buckets on the center aisle. We're going to pass them out across the room and then in the corners of the balcony, passing them in. And let's just continue worshiping together in our time of giving. As Julianne mentioned earlier, one of the things that we are so blessed during our Missions Emphasis Week is to be able to have every single year various different partners that we have that have really spread around the globe and are sharing the good news of Jesus in many different places and in many different countries. And the couple that we have here with us this morning, last time they were with us, we shut down the country, essentially, right before COVID. If you guys will remember, back in 2020, literally in the middle of Missions Emphasis Week, we had to close the doors of the church and keep them closed from March through June. And they got to speak for the first time. They got to be the guinea pigs on our live stream. It was great. Isn't it so great to see so many people here this morning? Warm your heart. Would you welcome Rich and Elisa Brown this morning? Rich and Elisa have been very longtime partners here with us at Westgate, and they serve and work president, founders of IncaLink, and working to reach the 300 million youth of Latin America. And we have loved the partnership that we have with them, and they are here to share with us from God's Word this morning. So again, would you thank them for coming to share with us today?
It's a privilege for us to be here and to have this long-term partnership. It is way better with people in the sanctuary, in the room, than when we're just on the screens. But praise the Lord for what He's doing in your church and as well as in us. Lisa's band, Claudemont, sends greetings. They were here a few years ago and a couple times and have been able to worship together. And thank you for praying for our houses in Florida. Our son's house and our house was flooded through one hurricane each. And we're going there tomorrow to kind of clean things up. But we appreciate you guys accompanying us. And for those of you that don't know us, I'm Rich and Elisa Brown. Rich Brown means rico café, which is good coffee. I don't know. I'm not rich or brown is what I tell people, but that's what my parents called me. And I was born in Ecuador. My parents are from the States. Lisa was born in Argentina, and her parents are from Canada, and our kids were born in Peru. We have 22 passports in our family, 23 if we count one of our grandkids who was just born, I guess. A lot of paperwork, but the important thing isn't what passport you have, but where your citizenship is, and our citizenship's in heaven. That's the only one that matters. Everything else is just paperwork. But bringing all these passports and countries together, that's our passion. The Lord gave us this vision to reach the 300 million youth of Latin America with Christ's love. And we've enjoyed being here this week. Julianne, you've done a great job of organizing everything. And man, is she a rock star? We got to have her as an intern years ago, and she's just always been so given to Christ in what she does and how she is with people, and we're super happy. Thank you to Ed and Chris for having us in their home. It's been a rest that has been beyond what we could have imagined. And thank you for supporting the Hadid so well. They're amazing people as well. Like when we met them in Costa Rica, we had so much fun with them that we decided to go celebrate Lisa's birthday together at the beach. And while we were there, we found out we went to the beach that had all of the sewage beach. But you know what they say, that when you're in the sewage together, you stink. And so we also stink together, but we had a good time as they found another beach that was way better, and it was a great time together. You guys really train your missionary residents well. And Steve and Crick Volstead, Steve called me right before I got on the stage. He was trying to get me when I was on the stage to see if I'd pick up my phone. We're good friends since college, and they're now with IncaLink as well, serving Alliance purposes on the field. So we love your church. We're so grateful to be here today, and thanks for having us.
I told the first service, Rich and I more than once have said, oh my goodness, Westgate Chapel, the body of believers here, you guys have it going on. You just know how to love and love well, and it's palpable. We love it so, so much. It's the best place to be when the rest of your world falls apart, let me tell you. So we're so, so thankful to be here. And some things have changed since the last time we were here. We still have four kids, and they all are now college graduates. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we still have only our oldest daughter who is married, so we have one son-in-law who we love very much. But the biggest change is our favorite stage of life right now. Our oldest kids ushered us into the grandparenting stage. Oh my goodness, we love it, and we love our two grandsons. Elias is there on the look. You guys are looking to him at the left, and Oliver is on the right. Elias is 3.5, Oliver is 1.5, and they are the joy of our life, and we're so, so, so thankful to have them.
And when we started Inca Link, the Lord gave us this vision to reach 300 million youth in Latin America. And people say, well, how do you reach 300 million youth of Latin America? We don't. But the Lord sends us out as ambassadors. He's the one that turns the light on for them. But we do it four ways. So we're going to ask you all to help us with our fingers today. Hold up your arms here. First is contextualized evangelism. It's reaching people where they are. Second, I know your hands are heavy. Keep them up there. We're almost done. Second is training leaders. We can't reach them by ourselves. We've got to train others that'll help be ambassadors. And third is connecting people, short-term missions to have a long-term impact. Four is compassion ministry, social work, the teen pregnancy homes and garbage dump ministries. You turn your hand upside down. The social work attracts our short-term teams, like you guys went to Costa Rica. We'll charge you a little bit more, but we'll also involve you a little bit more as we train our leaders and do the contextualized evangelism. You see the thumb there? That's discipleship. We do discipleship all the way through it. So when you guys are in Costa Rica helping the Hadids, you're actually helping us reach the 300 million youth of Latin America. And that's the way we're doing it. We started in Peru. That's why the name Inca Link, our youth group, helped start it. And then we moved to Ecuador and Colombia, and then the States. And we kind of had those four countries for a while as we funneled money from North America to help. And then since we were here last, we opened Costa Rica, Guatemala, Honduras, Mexico, Canada. And we have the vision of opening 6 new countries in 6 years. There's a lot of countries left. Spain is the next one on our list, as Daniel Nayeli, part of Lisa's band, who started Inca Link Honduras, are going to help start the ministry in Spain in 2026. You can be praying about that.
And so we want to harvest faithfully always, and we know that's your heart as well. How can we harvest faithfully? And that is what our sermon today is called, Harvest Faithfully, Living on Mission. What do we mean when we say living on mission? Well, we want to be living on purpose. We want to be living on purpose. And what is our purpose as Christians? Well, when they asked Jesus, of all the laws and all the things that the prophets taught, what's the most important? And you guys remember what Jesus said? Love the Lord your God above all things, and then love your neighbor as yourself. These two laws sum up every other one of our teachings. So I think it's fair to say that to live on purpose really means live loving on purpose. We want to be loving on purpose all the time. May it be at the forefront of our mind wherever we are. If we're behind the wheel of a car, if we're walking on the street, if we're in our own homes preparing or eating a meal, we need to be loving on purpose. So we have our scripture for today. That's in Matthew 25:34-40. Matthew 25:34-40. It's called the final judgment, but we're not talking about that so much as we feel it's a good blueprint of where to start loving people on purpose. So let's read this passage together. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? Then the king will reply, Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.
We know that salvation is through faith alone in Christ, and we don't serve to be saved. That's already something that we do because we're saved. But James says it this way, show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. Faith without works is dead. So we have this opportunity to serve because that's the part of the kingdom that God has asked us to be involved in. A relationship with Christ has consequences. They're good consequences, but it's showed by the fruit that it produces. And all good fruit comes from the harvest that God gives us. And so God loves us, therefore we love him, and he tells us to love those around us, so we do the same. And by doing that, we're serving him as well as those around us. And I don't know if you noticed the last part of the verse there that says, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. But it's interesting as we see that because it's talking about a group of people that are the insignificant ones. Who are those people? Who are the ones that are not, who are the least of these? There's a little bit of debate in this in the Christian world because the word is in Greek is adephonmou, which means the least of these brothers and sisters. Is it those who are the least brothers and sisters in the church, or is it those who are out in the world? Now, Matthew, apparently, as he uses that word in the book of Matthew, it's almost always the needy who are in the church are the ones who should be saved. However, if you look at broader scripture, it appears to be that those who that have the imago Dei or the image of God in them, those inside the church or outside the church, also deserve to be served when they're in need. Say to the person next to you, you have the imago Dei. You have the imago Dei. That is the image of God. Every person born since Adam and Eve has the image of God. And so it's important to remember that even Jesus, did he just serve those inside the church or inside the fold? Not necessarily. He served all kinds of people. The lepers, the outcast, the bleeding woman, the servant of a Roman centurion who was not even a Jewish man. He was a Gentile. And the demon-possessed, and so many more. There's a quality of the mercy of Jesus that does not discriminate. Let me say that again. There's a quality of the mercy of Jesus that does not discriminate. He serves all, and the harvest is for all.
So to harvest faithfully, we've got to love others and serve others well, whether they're Christians or not. Now, it's simple, right? The instructions are not complicated. Love God and love those around you. Not complicated at all. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's easy, right? I mean, all of us have people in our life that are easy to love, like my grandkids.
And your husband.
And my husband. But all of us have people in our lives that are not so easy to love, right? And we're called to love them and love them on purpose. That is what living on mission is all about. So how can we do it? Well, today Rich and I wanted to share two things that are going to help us to love others well and serve those around us well. And then the third point will be a challenge for all of us today. Okay? So first is, we need to know our community. We need to see the field around us. The bad news is we don't see people around us. We don't listen to people around us at all. We have lost the art of listening, right? Like, we're all good at giving our opinions, especially on social media. Well, this is what I think. We're not so great at listening. Like when Rich and I are having an argument and he's giving his point, I'm usually thinking of what I'm going to come back with. I'm constructing my comeback, not listening to what he's saying.
I do the same thing.
I know. Do you guys? Are we the only ones? And so we really are bad at listening. And we got to take it a step further nowadays. We don't even see each other. Our own daughter, when she was in high school in Texas, came home crying one of the first days saying, I'm invisible here. Nobody even sees me. Well, why? We're really good at looking at our screens and walking at the same time, aren't we? You know, it used to be that when you were waiting in the doctor's office or wherever you were, you could see the people around you, and sometimes you would strike up a conversation. Not anymore. People aren't even aware that you're in the same room together because we're so absorbed in our screens. And I think, man, that's not a loving thing to do, because Jesus gave us the best example, and he saw the people around him, didn't he? Think about 2,000 years ago, the Samaritan woman. There she was. First of all, she was a woman, and men didn't really interact with women. She was from a hated race for the Jews. She was Samaritan, 5 times divorced, and yet Jesus saw her. And he took the time to be with her. He probably knew all about her life, but he took the time to ask her questions, and he listened. 2,000 years before the Samaritan woman, we see Hagar. I never know how to say it in English. Hagar. She's in the desert, and she's crying out to God, and God sees her, and he brings her to a well, and she drinks and does not die. And what does she call that well? The living God who sees. The living God who sees. Do we know the people around us? Have we lifted up our gaze to see who is it? Who's our harvest?
I'm sitting in the seminary in Peru teaching. We've only been there a couple of years, but I'm teaching on evangelism and discipleship, and I'm giving my students a homework assignment right there and saying, just write down 5 names of people that don't know Jesus that you could witness to during the semester. Well, they all sat down and started to write, and I realized I didn't have a list of 5 names. Who am I going to put on my list? What a terrible teacher. You're supposed to give homework assignments that you yourself can do, right? So I'm like, I'm drawing a blank. I don't know anybody. We're so involved in the church as youth pastors and music and teaching in the seminary that we didn't have non-Christian friends. What kind of missionaries were we? So when I was walking home that night, I was feeling guilty before the Lord. Lord, what do I do? And we lived 3 blocks from the church, so as I was coming up to our house, I saw 4 men doing what they did every Friday night. They were getting drunk. I was like, well, there's 4 names, you know? So I came and I put my briefcase down, and I greeted them all like you do in Peru, and they started passing the alcohol around. So when they came to me, I said, no, thank you. And they got all mad at me. Why do you come to our country to offend us? We know you evangelicals don't get drunk like we do, but you don't have to say anything. You just, when it comes, you fill up the glass, and then you hand it to the next person, and nobody will say anything. They won't even ask you. It's like, okay, so I'm getting ready and watching how they do it. Goes around, comes to me. As I'm filling it up, I'm thinking, if the pastor sees me now, he's going to think that I'm getting drunk with them, right? So I'm filling it up fast and handing it as fast as I could. And that's how the night started to go. 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. Finally at midnight, I'm tired. I'm ready to go to sleep. I love sleeping in on Saturdays. Those of you that know me know that I love my sleep. So I was like excited to go sleep in. And before I said goodbye, they said, hold on a second. Do you play soccer? I'm like, yeah, I play soccer. They're like, well, we play tomorrow at 6 a.m. I was like, I've got to see this, you know? And so I was like, all right, we'll see you tomorrow morning. And sure enough, got up early and sacrificed my sleep because I wanted to score some goals. Sure enough, they were very lethargic from the residual effects of whatever they drank the night before. And I was able to make all kinds of goals. But we started to strike up a relationship. We started to play 2 or 3 times a week in the mornings before work and school. And we started to see this relationship build and grow. So much so that when Tito, one of the guys that was the most drunk of the town, I think. He, not TikTok, that was before TikTok. TikTok, he got sick and he was in the hospital and his brother called for me. We need the priest to come pray for him. And so they called me the priest. So I went and I prayed for him, and the Lord raised him up, and they both started attending church and continue to attend church. We saw him a couple months ago and he's still walking with the Lord. Sometimes we have to make ourselves uncomfortable so that we can see the need and know our community. Let me ask you a personal question. Do you know your community where you live? Do you see people in need? Do you have a list of 5 names that you could tell about Jesus or serve? So first, we have to do the work. So pray and harvest is the second one. Do the work is the second one. First one is see the need and see your community, know your community. Second is do the work, so pray and harvest. Actions speak louder than words. And so sometimes it's not even a word that you're preaching, it's your life that you're preaching. Let's look at the passage again in Matthew 25 in verse 35 and 36, and let's read it together as it's on the screen. 1, 2, 3. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. There's six mercies that we see here: food, water, hospitality, clothes, caring for the sick, and visitation. All of these are things that anyone can do. You don't have to be the pastor of the church to do this. You don't have to have a master's in theology to do this. Any of us can give someone food to eat. That's the beauty of the priesthood of all believers. We can all be involved. We're all without excuse.
And God is faithful, let me tell you. He's going to bring those people that he wants you to love on purpose. When everything shut down and COVID happened, we left Westgate, felt like we were taking the last plane out, went to Florida. We didn't really have a home there. We didn't know a church body. Our three kids had been kicked out of their universities, and so we were all homeless. And somebody gave us their condo to stay in. It didn't have furniture, but we were like, that's way better than the street. So we were happy. And as we settled into this condo, we said, how are we going to be missional? How are we going to live on mission here and now? And so the very first morning, we prayed together, Lord, help us to live on mission. Show us those people that we need to pour into. No sooner had we finished praying, no sooner had we finished that prayer, that I grabbed the garbage and I went out the front door to go find out where do I need to throw the garbage away. And I see this lady who starts waving at me. Hey, hey, you. I'm like, who, me? She's like, yeah, yeah, you. She comes running over. My name is Claudia. Hey, are you from Argentina? I said, oh my goodness, how do you know? Oh, you have the uniform on. Of course, we're the champions of the world. Remember
and
that.
Missy was probably on the back, right?
Of course,
Missy.
Of course, the best player in the world. Anyways, and so she says, oh, my name is Claudia, and I'm so scared. You know, we're in a pandemic, and I don't know what to do. I just got here, and I have two kids, and they can't go to school, and one of them has special needs, and I think we're dying. I think it's the end of the world. I don't know what to do. I'm so scared.
Did she talk that fast?
Exactly. And so I said to her, oh, well, nice to meet you, Claudia. My name is Elisa. Why don't you come in and have some mate? That's an Argentine drink that we share. Come on in and I'll share some mate with you. And I'll tell you why, even though it may be the end of the world, we're not afraid. How faithful is God? The second we pray, he brings somebody to that. And he's going to do that in your life too. I love what Mother Teresa says. We are called to be faithful, not successful. Not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. It is not the quantity that matters, but with how much love we do things. This quote always makes me think of 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, right? Where it describes how to love well. But before it starts describing love, it says, hey, you might have the gift of tongues or be able to prophesy what's coming in the future. You may have faith so strong that it moves mountains. Picture that in your head, okay? Faith that moves mountains. But if you don't have love, all of that means nothing. That's how important loving others is. That's how important knowing how to love people is. And honestly, here's the thing. When you look at those six mercies that Rich read, I mean, how much does it cost me to give somebody a drink of water? Nothing. But what does it mean to somebody who's thirsty to receive a cup of water? It means everything. So if any of you are shy and thinking, well, I don't know how to, you know, what would I say to people? How can I witness to people? Here's the thing. I love this saying. It's very popular. Preach the gospel always, and if necessary, use words. So we got to know our community. We've got to
plant that seed, sow that seed, harvest, pray. And third, the challenge for all of us. We need to start today. No more excuses. What can we do? Let's start today.
I'm swimming in the ocean in Ecuador with my friend Todd Solvine, and the waves are so big, he's saying, let's measure how big the waves are, how many feet. So he said, I'll go under the wave, and I'll reach my hands up, and you measure from the fingertips to the top to see how many feet it is. And so we're swimming in the water, and boom, we start to get dunked by waves. Have you ever been in the waves when you're like, you're not sure you're going to make it out, and getting dunked one after the other, and then pretty soon, or like, my whole life is flashing before me, I'm probably going to have to say, like, Jesus, into your hands I commit my spirit. And I'm just thinking I'm going to die, and all of a sudden a gust of water pushes me from under up, and I'm able to breathe, and I start fighting for my life to swim. They say to swim parallel to the beach, and so I was swimming parallel to the beach as hard as I could, and Todd was starting to come out okay, and I saw that the lifeguard was there with the life jacket, and he's standing in the corner there saying, come over here, come over here. And I wanted to yell at him, throw me the life jacket for Pete's sake. But I couldn't because I was fighting for my life. And when I finally got out, I said, hey, man, why didn't you throw us the life jacket? He's like, oh, you guys are coming over here anyway. Sometimes we're like that at church, aren't we? We have the life jacket of Jesus. People are drowning out there. But we stand at the door and we say, come over here. We've got Jesus here. And Jesus is saying, go and make disciples of all nations. That's what I love about this church. You can be here in your Jerusalem and you're serving people here, but you can, through the Christian Missionary Alliance, be serving people in the least reached nations all at the same time. Not just by giving, but by praying and welcoming and having others here. It's so important for us to be able to share Jesus with others. I like the way Tony Campolo says it. Jesus never says to the poor, find a church and go in, but rather tells the church to go into the world, find the poor, the hungry, the homeless, and the prisoners. And this is Jesus in his disguises. One of the first times we went to the garbage dump, it was just shocking to see children and their parents mining in the garbage to find recyclable things, living in the garbage, and eating the very garbage that we throw away. There's nothing more humbling. In Latin America, the used toilet paper does not go down the toilet. It goes to that very dump. And this one time, there was this five-year-old boy, and he was rummaging through the trash, and he reaches his hand in and pulls something out. I couldn't see what it is, but what it was, but he starts running and saying, look what I found, look what I found. And I was trying to see what it was, and he took a bite out of it, and it was either a half-eaten apple or a half-eaten pear. I couldn't tell. It was black on both sides. And it tore me apart. How in our lifetime, when Jesus gave us this message, do we still have people that eat the garbage that we throw away? And I remember calling the kid over and saying, hey, we'd brought in our backpacks some fruit. I said, here's a bright red, shiny apple. And I gave it to him. You know what he did with his other apple? He put it in his pocket. And then he said the words that I'll never forget. Gracias. When he said gracias, it was as though Jesus himself was looking at me and saying, if you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. Another saying that I like is, God comforts the disturbed and disturbs the comfortable. When we go to bed at night, sometimes we, you know, get into bed and we pray for our loved ones, our friends, and our ministry people, our Inklink people, and then we pray for the kids in the garbage dump, and all of a sudden, the nice, comfortable bed turns into a bed of rocks. How is it fair? And the only justice that we can understand why some of us have something and some don't have others, don't have anything, is because God wants us to share. We have something and they don't. Let's just share. That's it. We share Jesus and we share whatever we have. That's the only justice I can figure out, because Jesus says to do it. And so we try to share and we pray for them that night and we try to do something about it.
This very ministry that Rich is talking about in the garbage dump is how Inca Link started. And our teenagers took it, ran with it, and now we are celebrating 18 years. We have a daycare center building where we take the kids out while their parents are mining in the garbage, and we feed them. We disciple them. We help them. We got them documents. They didn't even exist. They didn't have documents. We got them documents so that they could then go to school, so they could learn to read and write, so that they could actually have a future and a hope. And it's a beautiful thing. And now another thing that's really good for your brain is fun, especially for kids. And so we always like to have fun with our kids. And one year we decided we're going to take them to see a movie. Ice Age was playing. And so we decided, let's go take them to the movie. We piled them up in the car and took them there. And they were so excited. First time they'd ever been in a movie theater. And it was, they were reacted like any kid would. Those, you know, those great seats that they have in the movie theater. The movie started and they laughed just like all the other kids in the movie theater. About the middle of the movie, one of the youngest kids, Israel, he had to go to the bathroom. So he goes to the leader. He says, hey, I have to go to the bathroom. Did you bring the shovel? Now, why did he ask for a shovel? In their context, they barely have homes. They don't have electricity. They don't have plumbing. They definitely don't have bathrooms. But they have a shovel that they go out into the sand. They dig a hole. They do their necessities. And then they cover it up with the shovel in the sand, and then they put the shovel back in the house. So the leader says, no, I didn't bring a shovel, but I'm going to take you to something better. And he takes Israel for the first time to a modern bathroom. And Israel walks in, and his eyes get huge. He's like, what in the world is this? So the leader says, this is a toilet. This is how you use it. So he went to the bathroom, and he's coming out of the stall. The leader says, oh, but now you need to wash your hands. So he goes back in and almost puts his hands in the toilet. No, 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 no. Not there. Come with me. And he takes Israel to a sink and he opens up the faucet and water starts pouring out. And Israel cannot believe what he's seeing. Where is this water coming from? Where's the bucket? Why? Because in their context, they have one bucket of water for the whole week. Wow. He turns off the faucet, turns it back on. The water comes out again. Turns it off, turns it on. Water again. This water never runs dry. This water never runs dry. And he starts drinking and drinking. And he washes his hands and his face and his hair and his body. And he keeps saying, this water never runs dry. And before the leader can react, Israel jumps off the sink, goes running into the movie theater, interrupts the whole movie, and he says, chicos, chicos, this is good, but I found something better. And no, none of the kids asked any questions. They just run out of the movie theater, follow Israel to the bathroom, and it's the same scene over again of kids delighting in this water that never runs dry. And we, the leaders, are standing at the door crying. And we're thinking, you know, this is like Jesus. He said, you'll taste of the water that the world gives, but you'll thirst again. But if you drink of my water, my living water, you'll never thirst again. And Rich and I are here to say, listen, this is the harvest. And if we've had an encounter with the best thing, the only hope the world has, Jesus Christ, we're going to be just like Israel. We're not going to be able to help ourselves. We're going to go running all over the place to say, hey, hey, maybe the world has some good things, but we've found the best. Come and drink of the water that never runs dry, and you will never thirst again.
Shane Claiborne says, we are the very body of Christ, not in some figurative sense, but as the very flesh and blood of Jesus living in the world through the Holy Spirit. We're his very hands, feet, and ears. Will you look at your hands this morning? Look at those hands. Those are Jesus's hands. He's lent them to you. He's lent them to me. What can we do with our hands to bless people? I like the way Paul says it. For I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. We're little Christs walking around with our hands and our feet and our voices. Let's use our lives to share Jesus with others. And as we finish today, just want to ask you to do one thing. There's a QR code in your bulletins or on the screen. We'd like to hear from you. You pray for your missionaries. We want to pray for you. Maybe you have prayer requests, or maybe you want updates on what God is doing in and through Inkle Inc. We'd love to share with you. And people say, well, what are the needs that you have? Well, number one, pray for our houses. We're going tomorrow, after the storms, we're going to figure out what the insurance will cover and all those things. It's just a lot of paperwork. Fortunately, it's just stuff. All of us are safe. Praise the Lord for that. But also, sponsor a child. We have 300 and some children that are being sponsored, like Israel, that are in different countries. Or maybe donate time. Come for a week or a month and help lead short-term teams. Or if God's calling you to long-term missions in the Alliance to go to the least reached nations, we want to talk to you afterwards. So let's stay connected. And we have Inkle Inc bracelets that are for free at the booth. They only cost prayer. So if you'll remember to pray for us and you have an Inkle Inc bracelet, you can have one. We'd love to talk to you as well and see what God is doing in your life. But let's pray as we close. Lord, it doesn't cost us anything to share water with people. But it cost you everything to share your water with us. You gave your life, Jesus. And we want to share that water with others. Lord, as you start compelling people's hearts and minds, not just with the great stories or messages or passages of Scripture, but with a urgency to do something about it, will you call young, middle-aged, old, to continue to live on mission here in Toledo and across the world? Lord, we give ourselves to you. We want to know our community. We want that list of five that you've brought to our mind. Some may need physical help. Some may need spiritual help or emotional help. May we be the kind of people that lift our heads out of our phones and see people. Help us to do the work of living out the faith. And today's the day to start, Lord. Help us to start with you. We love you, Jesus, and we're so grateful for you and what you're doing in our lives and through us. Thank you for this church. Be that graciousness for this church as you've been to us, and thank you for this partnership. In Jesus' name, amen.
Shall endure all things to win the crown of life.
Such a wonderful morning together. Would you again thank Rich and Alisa for coming and sharing with us today? I am so thankful just for your ministry and our partnership together, but your word for us this morning. I can't help but think, as I was listening first service and second service, you know, the challenge of thinking about who are your five people, or as we talk about often, who are the people that God has placed in your own personal circle, that He has placed there strategically and specifically so that you would be the one who intentionally shares the love of Jesus with them. And I love this morning the example that you guys shared of just talking about how even we will at times just walk around with our heads buried in our cell phones, right, and not even notice the people that are around us. Because I think the same thing is true also in our relationship with Christ. Sometimes we come to Christ, we give our hearts to Him, but we keep our head buried in so many other things of the world that we fail to look up and to remember the mission that He has called us to be a part of with Him. To have our eyes and our hearts opened up. Sometimes it's very easy for us to take for granted His love that He has poured out so lavishly that we forget to be like that little child. What a powerful story and example to remind us of just how overwhelming it is to receive the love of Jesus, the water that never runs dry, but to be so passionate about it that we have to go out and share it with other people. My hope and prayer for you this week is that that is how your heart is connecting to the Lord and to His mission, that you fall so deeply in love with Him that you just can't help but be a part of His mission of reaching not only your circles and your neighbors and people in this community, but that you would be passionate about His mission of reaching the nations and the unreached throughout the world. This week, we've really tried to give you five very practical ways to do that, and I'll draw your attention to it. It is included with your sermon notes this morning, but I would challenge you to pray through today, this week, the weeks to come. How is it that God would have you participate in His global mission of reaching the unreached? No doubt you can pray is one of those ways to be a part of praying regularly in your prayer time for the unreached in this world, praying for some of our international workers workers and missionaries that we have sent out and that we partner with, praying specifically for different countries and for the move of the gospel. You can be a part by welcoming. There are many incredible ministries in Toledo where you can partner with them as they reach the nations, as they come to our city. Places like Water for Ishmael, where you can have a personal relationship with internationals and share the good news of Jesus. You can also do that by mobilizing others, by taking this passion that we have for reaching lost people and sharing it with others, inviting them in to be a part of that. You can do that by sending. One of the strategic ways that we have always done this is through by giving to the Great Commission Fund. And as you walked in this morning at each of the tables, and it's still sitting out there, we have this commitment card that explains how people can give to the Great Commission Fund of the Christian Missionary Alliance. This church, as I mentioned, gives north of $300,000 a year to support that work above and beyond your regular tithes and offerings. And I would invite you, if that is one way that God is calling you to get involved, grab one of these cards before you leave today. You can give either to the fund that supports them all, or you can also give specifically to Alliance workers around the world to help them as they are raising support to be on the field to spread the good news. But as well, you can be a part by considering whether or not God would have you to go. And this is the one thing that I will continue to challenge you as your pastor. Would you be bold enough? Would you be surrendered enough in your relationship with Christ that you would dare to pray the prayer, God, would you send me? Maybe that means answering his call to go on a short-term trip, simply to have your eyes open to the global work of the Lord around the world and how you can be a part of that, whether that's by going long-term or even by staying here and mobilizing and supporting and sending others who are going, by praying regularly for them. But would you as a church surrender your hearts this week to the Lord and say, God, would you send me? You know, church family, we have had an incredible opportunity to dive in to this all week long, but my prayer is that it doesn't stop here this morning, but that it will continue in the days, weeks, months, and years on end to come until the Lord Jesus Christ himself returns to this earth, that we would be found faithful in completing his mission to reach lost people. Would you join us in that effort? You know, again, I want to invite the Browns and also the Hadids to come here on the platform. We're going to close our service this morning praying over them. So again, would you thank them as they come this morning? And many things for us to be praying over. I'm just going to ask you, as Julianne and I lay hands on them, if you would extend your hands as a sign of just being in this with us as we pray over them and ask for God's blessing on their lives. Julianne.
Lord, you're the big deal. I can say it over and over again as we look at our brothers and sisters here who head back to their different places this week, as we look at Luke and Maddie heading back to Costa Rica on Tuesday, and Rich and Elisa as they head down to Florida tomorrow, and just continue to have their hands open to what you have. I pray that we will send them filled with your blessing. Lord, we thank you for the ways that you have written stories for your glory through their lives as they have said yes to you. And that's what we continue to seek you for. Just open hands and hearts as they walk with you into hard places. And then they just ooze out that joy of you, God. We thank you that you have changed each of their lives, and they've encountered a relationship with you that changes everything, that living water, and that they're using their time, treasure, and talent to share that with others. So thank you for the vision you've given them. Thank you for the joy you've given them. Thank you for the perseverance and the peace you've given them. We're just going to continue to pray and pray as we send them out that you will provide each moment for them. And God, thank you that we get to be part of their church sending team, that we can pray for them month after month and celebrate the ways you're working, that we get to send them financially as they look for supporters. Thank you for the way you've been faithful, and may we continue to be faithful, and may we just encourage them well, Lord. We thank you for this picture of these two couples side by side, united, even if they live in different countries, but there is the same picture of your heart, of you wanting to be famous around the world. And so we thank you for this picture and that we get to be part of it, God.
Father, I pray for the Browns, and I thank you, God, again, for the many years of partnership together. And Lord, I want to ask that in these especially days to come, that you would provide for their every single need. Lord, I thank you for the protection over their family. God, I pray that you would meet their needs financially, that you would meet their needs for their homes. But in the midst of all of this, God, I pray that you would give them an incredible peace that can only come from your Holy Spirit. I pray as well that you would fill their hearts with joy in these days. And as they talked about this morning, God, in the midst of even this loss, would you bring people into their path this week that need to know your son, Jesus? And from the joy that radiates from their life, we pray that a testimony would come that would draw others to a saving knowledge of your son, Jesus Christ. Bless them in their mission, Father, to reach the 300 million youth of Latin America as they push for 6 countries in 6 years. God, raise up the workers that will be necessary. I pray, Father, that you would give them boldness in sharing the good news of your son, Jesus Christ, and that many would come to know him. Lord, I pray over the Hadids. I thank you, God, for how you have been working in and through them over these past months. Lord, I just pray that you would continue to fill them with your Holy Spirit. Give them many encounters in this next term with college students that need to know your son, Jesus Christ. Build a firm relationship there, God. And I pray that we would see so much fruit coming from this ministry, God. I pray as well that you would give them a very clear picture in this next term of your calling for their life, whether that is to remain on the field longer or, Father, whether it is to come home and to be a part of your work here. Lord, would you make your plans abundantly clear and help them, Father, to see it and to have boldness in responding to what you are calling them to. And I pray for this church. I ask, God, that you would continue to overwhelm us with your love for us in such a way that we cannot help but continue to tell others of the goodness of your son, Jesus Christ, that many would find and follow him. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we pray that you would use us even in this day and week to come. We give all of our heart to you, and we worship you and bless your holy name. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray together. Amen. Church family, thank you so much for worshiping with us again today. We look forward to worshiping with you again next week. Go out and serve the Lord with all of your heart. We'll see you soon.